This is episode 181 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales, and today I'm joined by Will. You'll have to cancel me before you cancel my baby Yoda, Hagwood.
I'd do anything for that little guy.
And Ryan, what do Mr. Magoo Staniszewski?
I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. I just know it's time to keep going.
And we're also joined... by Marcel, made it right on time, Manzano.
Fashionably on time.
Well, announcements and news for this week. If you heard, this is basically what today's entire episode is about. It is the fact that all Star Wars miniatures games are going to be moving to Atomic Mass Games. We're going to talk about what we think that might be. Today's basically all speculation. We're going to give you the facts on what we do know from the past, the little bit of facts that we have now. And then we wonder and speculate with you today. So that'll be fun. But before we go too far, I want to remind you that our podcast is brought to you by our awesome Patreon supporters. Remember, becoming a patron makes you a part of the largest group of supporters we have here at GSP. Patrons have access to patron-only channels on our Discord, and depending on your level, you could even get quarterly gifts. The next wave of gifts are going to be the Republic Assault. Go to patreon.com/goldsquadron and to become a patron today. All right, guys, we're jumping straight into it, okay? Atomic Mass Games. I figured what we start with is just by laying out some facts, some of the things that we know, and then we can start asking questions and kind of speculate amongst ourselves what we think could, might, and probably will happen, as well as I'm expecting a lot of audience participation today just because this is going to be a subject that that we're going to be talking about for a while until we have some type of concrete results, I'm going to say, or some type of reaction. So the first signs of change... If you watch the Team Covenant interview with Steve Horvath on March 2020, right before all the COVID shutdowns, he gave an interview, and in there he talked about some restructuring that was happening in Asmodee. And some of the things related to what we're talking about is he did specify, Steve Horvath specified the fact that there was going to be a specific team of people that would only work on miniatures games. They also talked about the fact that the line for X-Wing, because we're caring about X-Wing, they actually talked about Star Wars in general, but X-Wing was approved through 2023. The difference in what he said versus what has happened is Steve Horvath specifically stated, and this is a quote, he says, there's going to be FFG board games and card games. He put his hand to one side, and then he said, and there's going to be FFG miniatures on the other side. So still putting them under the Fantasy Flight Games mantra. But of course, today... November 16, 2020, we got announced that Atomic Mass Games is going to be taking over the development of X-Wing. Now, what do we know about Atomic Mass Games? We know that the heads of the studio, the head of the studio, Will Schick, and the senior game developer, Will Pagani, they were both major developers and parts of Privateer Press. If you're not familiar with Privateer Press, they are the people who make War Machine and Horde. So that's a really large, expansive universe and games. They also currently, their studio basically only makes one game right now, and that is Marvel Crisis Protocol, the Marvel miniatures game. Now, some of the other things we know is in this whole restructure is we've seen some longtime FFG employees are no longer with the company, including those in organized play and some of the social media people who work there. And from what I've been told from a source on the inside is that while the changes for miniatures being kept together, was always on the books, was always in the plan, for recent plan. The fact of it going specifically to Atomic Mass Games is a new-ish part of the plan. It's something that not everybody knew, essentially. And for those of you who don't know, so Fantasy Flight Games, okay, their development headquarters, their studio, is located in Minneapolis, okay, St. Paul, specifically the city. Atomic Mass Games is in, essentially, it's a suburb of Seattle, Seattle, Washington. So, you know, all the way on the West Coast versus Central, because I've seen a lot of people talk about, like, oh, this is fine. This was, you know, they're just changing the name. No, this isn't. These are new people working on this game. Now, my questions to you guys, we're going to start opening up the speculation. Okay, the speculation here. Oh, by the way, and yes, with the move to Atomic Mass Games, it's not just X-Wing. It's also Armada and Legion. Okay, Armada and Legion. It doesn't include Imperial Assault because they consider that a board game. But apparently, Imperial Assault is supposed to continuing. But that's not what we're here for. We're here about X-Wing. So, what do you guys think? Like my question here is going back to Steve Horvath saying, you know, FFG board games and card games, and then FFG miniatures. I wonder what changed here. Like what. What changed the structure? What do we think happened that it said, actually, we're going to move this over to Atomic Mass Games? Anybody want to jump on the speculation train first?
I'll jump.
Yeah.
I'll dive right in. What happened is 2020 happened. That's what happened. I mean, really, it's, you know, with COVID, with sales, with everything, you know, whatever plans you had on February of 2020 changed in March of 2020, and now that we're going through, now that we know that we're not as close to the finish line as we thought we were, you know, every business has to adjust, and you have to think about, like, you know, how much overhead can you keep, especially if you're not selling, if you're not moving product, if people aren't coming and people aren't playing. You know, you have organized play. What are they doing? I mean, I love them, but, well, you know, you're not playing, you're not doing any organized play events.
Right. I mean, from what we know, organized play, FFG organized play is gone. Like there is no organized play group, at least not right now.
Yeah. So I think it's just, you know, it's, you know, FFG was bought out by Asmodee essentially so they can make money on it, and with they thought they could, but again, 2020 kind of threw a wrench to a lot of different businesses, and this is any businesses that rely on in-person, you know, that's not medical, you know, then you know, there's consequences, and there's things that are. Sorry, I lost train of thought.
No worries. So one of the points being brought up in the chat, what is happening right now? one of the points being brought up in the chat is they did mention in the article that some of the members that are part of the development crew will be moving. Now, we don't know who that is. We don't know who that is, and that is something I'm really curious. So, because if, for instance, if we see Max Brooks and it's Max Brooks, Brooke and Max Brooks, right? Or they have two very similar names. If we see those two move to Seattle and work in that studio, then maybe things don't change as much. But I can't believe that everybody who had their hands in X-Wing at FFG is just going to be hopping on a plane and going to Seattle. Like, that's just not practical.
No, and I think that's, to Marcel's point, I think that's kind of the direction that they're going, is that with an established company already doing miniatures game, they can essentially scale back their already pretty skeleton crew working on X-Wing. They can really scale it back further or put it down to just like one person, I would imagine, who can just be in charge of X-Wing. And that's kind of what the developers weren't able to do for FFG. They were always doing some card game or some new board game or Sushi Go or whatever. They're, you know, they can't be working on X-Wing all the time. We saw a lot of the, I think Alex went to go, what, do Legion?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the originals have always moved on to, you know, you do X-Wing for a little bit, and then you can maybe get your own project if you're doing well at it. So I think that Atomic Mass might be getting away from that style of kind of rotating door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's definitely one. Now, there were some questions raised by different people in the community. And what I tried to do is I made a post on Discord, on Patreon, and on Facebook, and try to boil down the questions that I saw, because there were some consistent ones that I saw that kind of revolved around each other or were really, really similar. And one of the biggest concerns, and Ryan, I'll let you start with this one. One of the biggest concerns is people wondering, like, if let's say less personnel than 100% of people with their hands in X-Wing go to Atomic Mass Games or working for Atomic Mass Games. Mind you, one thing we actually do have to keep in mind is in the COVID 2020 era that we're in, telecommuting is a thing, right? People could live in one place and work for another. We don't know how that works or what their plan for that is. Is the possibility with, if it's a major change, if it's literally just somebody saying, hey, you guys, I know you've never worked on X-Wing before, but here, this is yours, the possibility of a third edition?
I mean, I guess that's definitely on the table, but I think from reading the press release that at least some of the head people at FFG are making their way over to help at Atomic Mass Games head up their miniatures and still have their hands in it, but to say that there are no casualties would definitely not be the case. There are definitely people that are not being retained to Atomic Mass Games. We have no idea the full list of people. That's theoretically none of our real business to prod into that information. Mm-hmm. We get it as we will. But in terms of how many, we'll see. Will it eventually translate to another edition because there'll be a mix of minds now? I don't know. It's a possibility for sure. Will it happen? Coin flip. Seriously. Like, you could see maybe the developers that do go over from FFG to Atomic Mass Games for this, maybe there's enough of them to retain what they've wanted to build and create with second edition that they still have their small team working on it there. Maybe, or on the flip side, maybe even if there is the same amount as I just mentioned, say if there even is a core group, but they're meshing with some of the developers at Atomic Mass, and they've started to think about new things from a different angle, come up with different ideas, implementing things that Atomic Mass did with their games, and maybe it transitions into a third or a 2.5. Maybe there's just a couple things that they've, like, you know, it's an unofficial, but like implementation of some different types of tools, rules, and things that they can do maybe on the organized play side, if that's possible in the future, to where you're not revamping the game, but you're revamping maybe its support.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's continue on that, maybe some of the micro changes or the different changes in this move that could be effective. So let's talk about organized play. And I want to talk... I know that right now we don't have any active organized play, but let's go ahead and put our 2019 organized play hats on, our memories there. We don't know how Atomic Mass Games will function with organized play. I know that they have Marvel Crisis Protocol. They did release similar to like our organized play kits where there's tokens and they did like supersized cards. I did see that. I was doing a little research. I don't know if anybody did, maybe in the chat, or if you guys are aware of any type of like tournaments that existed, that had took place in 2019 for Marvel Crisis Protocol, and maybe somebody in the chat will let us know as we continue going there.
I do know Ryan Farmer, who's is a very big fan of Crisis Protocol, has mentioned most of the organized play support has been very casual, local store kit style.
Right.
Nothing much beyond that. Very mission focused, but it is a very different game also. Beyond that, I haven't heard really anything else. Apparently, some of the people who are in Atomic Mass Games used to be part of Privateer Press, who developed War Machine.
Mm-hmm.
For people who may be familiar with that, I don't know how long ago those people were part of it, or if they were some of the original founders, or whatever the case. But that is what I've been made aware of.
Right, right. And I know that they had some plans for bigger things. I just wasn't sure, because I did see those organized play kits, those more casual kits, casual night type of thing. So we'll probably be getting some of those, because again, if it's going to be under that Atomic Mass Games umbrella, they're going to be the ones in charge of the organized play. We talked a little bit about the devs. Let's talk about the sculptures and the design of X-Wing. So one of the worries I did see pop up quite a bit is a lot of us, there's a group of people who say, you know what? I like Star Wars. I don't have to paint this. I'm in. Let's play. Okay? I know that there is a big group of people who, if they turned X-Wing, because Atomic Mass Games, the heads of the studio, and their current game are all unpainted. One of the worries is if they shift to unpainted miniatures for X-Wing, I think that could really hurt their market share. And there might be people, look at, there literally somebody in the chat said, yeah, I'd be out.
Yeah, I'm one of those filthy casuals that can't paint miniatures or assemble them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my Legion Corps sat for a long time, still sitting around, unpainted, unassembled.
Yeah, I think for me, not just the painting, I think the one of the things that I'm afraid is losing quality, because one of the things that have happened, you know, since I started playing, you know, to now, is each wave we've progressively gotten better and better ship design, mm-hmm. better painting, more more pivots, you know, the S foils moving, the B wings rotating, like now with the TIE Brute having the rotating turret. So we've gotten better and better quality from the miniatures. The price went up a little bit. So the price went up $5, but I think the quality also went up respectively. I'm afraid that they'll keep the price the same and start. I was at Pastimes last week, right? I went to go pick up my, you know, the next mm-hmm. wave of ships. And, you know, we were just walking around to see what else we can buy. And in one of the tables or one of the shelves was Star Trek Attack Wing. And Kayla had never seen it. And then she's said, hey, this is, you know, this uses the same, you know, kind of the same format, basically, like the maneuver dials and everything very similar. And she looked at the ship. She's like, man, these are terrible. Like it looks like so those cereal box toys that you get for free where they can't even paint within the lines, you know, they can't even keep them. it was terrible. And when you look at the difference between that and X-Wing, or even when you look at the difference between very expensive toys that you find at Walmart, Target, or stuff like that, that are Star Wars related, where Han Solo looks like, you know, Squidward. And the ships, you know, they're just terribly made. It's like $30 for a really horrible plastic thing that doesn't move. It's just like a big plastic blob with some paint on it. So I always thought that we got a really good deal even for just as a collector of miniatures.
Agreed.
Like I can display them and be proud of them. I wouldn't be displaying the Star Trek stuff that I saw on the. I mean, they're worse than like, you know, 50 cent Crispin ornaments. I mean, they're pretty bad. So anyway, that's my concern.
Yeah, that that is a 100% valid concern. Now, of course, one of the things we got to remember is Atomic Mass Games and FFG. They're both under the tree of Asmodee, right? There's Asmodee and them. So I would hope that they have access to the same resources, same factory, and it's still Asmodee writing the checks and sending them out. Like, that should be fine. But if we get new people in charge of running the game, they might have that thought. They might have the thought where it's like, would it really be a big deal if we made them unpainted? Because I've heard the line of thinking saying, oh, I prefer it not to be assembled, and like miniatures in general. Like, I prefer them not to be assembled, and then for them to not be painted, so that I can make it my own. Like, I've heard that argument, and I get that, I understand, but you immediately raise the barrier to entry, immediately. So I'd hope they'd recognize that if they're making all these consolidations of companies and they're doing it to save money, spend a little bit to make sure that those ships still look good so that you don't lose the money people paying for them. In my opinion, I think most people in the chat seem to be agreeing, and that's good. The next thing is, do we think this change is maybe one of the reasons we haven't heard about the new updated app we've been promised? What do you guys think, Will, Ryan?
I mean, I feel like that's just keeps getting passed off to different people, and they're just like, oh, back burner it, and then eventually gets passed off to somebody else. So I don't know if that is. Do any of you guys play Crisis Protocol? Do you know if they have an electronic thing? Well, I'll look it up when you guys do your opinions.
Well, so go ahead, Ryan. You go first. Sorry.
I lost what the original question was anyway. So what was
we were supposed to get an app, right? A new app,
yeah, the app. Right?
And the speculation now especially was like, hey, we noticed that they didn't add the card images for the next upcoming wave, and there's some things that are just kind of weird in there. Maybe that's because we're getting our new app. But now we have this change. Maybe, like, my thought is this change so new? If we take what we heard from Steve Horath in March, all right, there was a plan to split anyway, right? There was a plan to chop things up. It was still going to be FFG. But is this change so new that something like a release of a new updated app has been put on hold very late because of this change going to Atomic Mass Games?
I mean, yeah, that's definitely a possibility. I'm kind of with Will, though, that, like, I feel like the whole app conversation is always being pushed down the road because, I mean, FFG, or at least the people who work there, obviously know that the community has already thrived on other community-created list builders anyway. Mm-hmm. Having their official one, while theoretically should be a high priority, that's supported, updated well, and maintained so they can show it off and everyone could be happy with it. It didn't exactly get the best response when it came out originally. And I don't know how much they're really showing it off as like, hey, if new player, use the app to get your points. I mean, I assume that's still a thing that is in the rule book, or here's the link to this. But it's not exactly on the front page, I think, as easily as to find as other things on the products page right now. I don't know. I'll take a quick look here.
While you're looking that up, a thought I just had. So I remember Andrew Navarro, that was the previous head of Fantasy Flight Games, being asked at Gen Con if there was an app in development for Armada and Legion. Okay. he said no because it's expensive and we're going to have what we have for X-Wing. That was his statement. Since then, we've heard that there's a second one in development. Here's an idea, a little bit of tinfoil hat, maybe an opportunity for Atomic Mass Games. I know that there exists, you said, community apps for Marvel Protocol, Marvel Crisis, right? There's yeah, community apps.
I did not find an official one, though I found some really good-looking unofficial ones, so the community must be supporting them.
I wonder for Atomic Mass Games, it could be, since they're going to be all the miniature, right? Asmodee, the miniatures company, is what Atomic Mass Games will end up being. There might be an opportunity for the Atomic Mass Games app. You go into Atomic Mass Games, and there you go, X-Wing, Armada, Legion, Marvel Crisis Protocol, and kind of have that break out from there. That might be maybe why we have a pause. It's maybe some integration there. I probably would prefer it to be separate, but I'm trying to think outside the box. Like why would we get a pause? Because if they have a new X-Wing app ready to go, just launch the thing, right?
I go more inside the box with this one, and it's more on the cynical 2020 route as well. You mentioned, you know, apps are expensive. I mean, you're going to spend, you're going to start at six figures and then just go north from there to develop it. And that's not even like the monthly, you know, cost that it keeps to, you know, as you constantly need to be updating and doing things like that. I think it just comes down to again, you can't, you're not selling anything on the app. You're not making any money on the app. You're making money on organized play. You're selling stuff at the event. You're getting registrations. You're incentivizing play. I mean, you're doing stuff with that. You're same thing with like the store kits and stuff like that. You sell them. You make money. You're not making any money on the app. It's free. You're not really paying for it. You're not selling. There's no microtransactions or anything like that. So unless they can monetize it, I don't really see them putting any effort into it. I think right now they're in how do we not lose as much money as we can and write this thing out.
How do we get people to forget about it?
Not forget about it. Just
how do we do an app anymore?
No, just how as a business do we not lose money and write this out until whenever it is that we can start making money again? So app out of the window unless you can monetize it. Now, if they had somebody creative, you can monetize almost any game app. So it doesn't take long to find a way to monetize it and put microtransactions on there. I mean, we already know X-Wing people will pay for anything Star Wars related.
Yeah, sure.
Like anything at all. Like you know, you step on a piece of gum and then it's on the bottom of your shoe and it has like the FFG logo on it because it was at FFG Center. Like, hey, I'm selling a stick of gum with an FFG World 2019. It's like, and then you get an auction going. I mean, so X-Wing people will pay for anything. They just need somebody creative to be able to monetize an app, but without making any money on it. I think it's just going to be out of sight, out of mind.
Now, what if I told you that the new X-Wing app was done already?
Still, it takes money to launch it. It takes money to support it, and if you're not getting anything back for it, that's what you call a sunk cost. It's a sunk cost. You're not going to make any money. You're not going to gain any benefit. You're just going to spend more money. So just call it a sunk cost and cut your losses and move on to something else.
There could also be a strategic reason to hold it. Right? Is maybe post. Like, you know, post COVID, the things are better. All right, we have this app we've been holding on to. We haven't had to pay extra money to have it launched. We haven't done anything like that. Exciting. All right, here's the plan for organized play 2021. Boom, events, new X-Wing app. Go out into the world and play.
You see somebody in the chat? Who was it? Nickel City X-Wing. I mean, you made a good point. Like, if you put, again, transactions on there, if you can buy your ships through the app, just, you know, have a wallet in there and then go to events and then, you know, when you pay for your events, your organized play events through the app, it doesn't have to track the event. Just, like, it holds your wallet, similar to, like, Origins and other, you know, video game apps that, that kind of bind you to it. And then if you get, like, $10 store credit only for participating in an event or making a cut, and things like that, but you can only spend it on merchandise. Like, I mean, that's a good idea. If they can find a way to make that work and just tie it back to selling more product or offsetting the cost of the app, then I can see them putting more, you know, putting some juice behind it.
Now, Ryan, I'm going to kind of shift this over to you. Are there any other thoughts, concerns, things that are kind of in the back of your mind about this transition to Atomic Mass Games?
So funny enough, this whole transition feels a lot like what a company I work for went through. We got bought out by a much larger company. We had been integrated, and they started to pick pieces of us and integrate it further while others kind of fell off. And it feels like we are almost on the cusp of having what just happened to FFG and Asmodee. So, like, immediately when I saw this, I knew that there was a much larger shakeup in FFG than people think, that there are probably not going to be, just pure speculation in my mind, not a lot of people that get transferred over to Atomic Mass Games as we probably hope. And it's unfortunate. I mean, so my general phrase of this, and people ask me my thoughts, has been, I have concerns, but I also have hope. Granted, it's sad that probably a solid amount of FFG employees lost their job through this. So being that I'm pretty sure I'm going through my work a very similar transition right now, I feel for them. It's not a fun transition, and a lot of times when you're promised stuff from a head company about being integrated and more safe because they bought you out and you're valued, a lot of that trust gets lost, and it's a feels bad.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because we got to remember when they state publicly that you know, key people, we don't know who do they consider key, and also that you got to, let's be honest, there's a public relations side to that too, right? So there is that statement is there for us to at minimum say, hey, they at least said they were doing this. We don't know if they will. And that's the baseline. That's rather than if they had not put that in the statement at all, we just go, wait a second. What about the staff? Is it brand new people, right? They've established the baseline. We'll see what happens when those things get developed. Will, anything specific come to mind that you're concerned, questions, thoughts?
My thoughts are that this is good. Now, we were one of the named products that are going over. If it just said like Legion and Armada are going over, oof, that would not be a good sign. So, thinking on just like money and time, like there'd be no point in doing all this effort of bringing X-Wing over to a new company just to release one more wave and have it pitter out. You know what I mean? So I think it will hopefully solidify a lot more X-Wing to come.
Marcel?
Sorry, what was the question?
Just any other thoughts, ideas, questions that are looming in your mind about the transition?
No, not really. I mean, you know, more than anything, I feel, you know, like Ryan said, I feel bad for the people that are going to be not victims, but you know, that are going to end up having to find new work, and you know, any change is hard, and change is scary for everyone. So it's hard for them. And as a community, as a gaming community, it's kind of like, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. So it's unknown. So, you know, anytime you walk into the unknown, you know, that's the making of a horror movie. So, you know, all we got to do is just kind of, kind of be, you just have to be positive and know that X-Wing is on the FFG portfolio. X-Wing is their basically their cash crop.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's still doing better than Crisis Protocol. And it's got a really strong and it's got a strong community through COVID and through the loss of organized play, we've seen, the same level of excitement, not just around the events that you did with the Space Jam, Will flexing the belt back there and other things, but also with like the Lima Open coming up soon. And if you go to the Fly Better page, the Fly Better page is just they're constantly like, who knows how many people are in there. So I'm hopeful that, I'm not worried. The game will be around. And if it's not around, we've got the toys. We've got smart people that can make things work. And we'll be playing, even if they kill it, we'll still be getting together in a basement somewhere to run some tournaments. So I ain't worried about that at all. So we'll be fine.
And some
somebody said get people off the ledge. So get off the ledge.
We'll, yeah, absolutely. I think I want to kind of take everything that you guys said, combine it into a couple other points. With the announcement, the fact that we do have product through 2023, I think it's important for a couple of things. At least if there's a lineup. We don't know. Lineup can mean a lot of things. That could just be something as simple as we plan to release this ship. When they went to LFL, say, hey, can we work on this ship with these pilots? We don't know what it's going to look like, but this is what we want. All the way to there may have been already formulated ideas and stamp sealed, delivered, ready to go in the pipeline. Maybe they're already printing things. Up to the 2023, who knows? Or they're maybe in the pipeline to get printed. I think whatever happens with the transition, I think we need to give some time to see what the Atomic Mass touch is going to be to the mechanics of the game. Because if we get to the end of 2023, we've had all of the residual FFG ness gone, right? Like all the things that started FFG are now gone, and now it's just Atomic Mass Games working on it. I think that's where we'll get some either big difference. Maybe at that point they start to entertain the idea of a 3.0. I know that there's some people who are really against it. We don't know. We're just kind of putting it out there. Or maybe that's just where we start seeing maybe some bigger changes. Because with different people working on it, we do get different ideas. The heads of Atomic Mass Games, they work for Privateer Press. Like that is a big company. Like it's the direct competitor to Warhammer, right? Warhammer, War Machine, Hordes. Like the company knows miniatures, but the reality is that it's miniatures in a different way. So we have to see how that reacts. I don't know much about Warhammer or War Machine. I've played one game of War Machine, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Machine. and that's it. But just something to think about there. From information that I know that there's a couple of other big changes that are planned by that were already planned by FFG that are coming down the pipe. With my sources, I cannot talk about what those things are, but we'll see when it happens. But again, I think we need to give Atomic Mass some time to see what is coming. Now, if there are any other thoughts, oh, by the way, that includes like we know, for instance, that the Mandalorian stuff is coming, right? That they marked that very specifically, 2021. That's happening in 2021. So that's some stuff. Oh, and the other thing people were asking is, will we get better communication from Atomic Mass Games versus what we did from FFG in terms of us as a community? It's impossible to know. I will say this is just as pure judgment. I don't like the Atomic Mass Games website. It's very plain. It's kind of lackluster. I hope that they up their game when they get these other titles. The FFG website, while it can be sometimes a little bit difficult to hide some things, it looks really to find some things. It is really polished. It's a really polished website. It looks really, really good. I know Atomic Mass does have a good social media presence, so we'll see what they do there. And we're just hoping for the best. And at least I'm going to hold on to what Will said. We know by them transferring X-Wing that we got X-Wing for a while, and that's the best thing that we know. All right? That's the best thing that we know. So I will tell you right now, I already have feelers out to Atomic Mass Games. I've requested interviews, and I want to touch base as a community with them, because they don't know us, and we don't know them. And it is time to get to know, because I think it's important that as a community, we have to show Atomic Mass Games that we're invested in the game. Because I know as a company, I'm sure, right, it would be obvious. Obviously, people care about the game. That's why they want to do things like organized play. But I feel, this is the community I'm a part of, but I know that we're really invested. I did get an opportunity to work pretty closely with FFG, go to all the premier events, stream them for you guys, and I don't want the relationship between me and Atomic Games to be anything less than what I had with FFG. And in fact, I would hope that maybe we'd have an opportunity to get even closer. Snuggle up with me, little yellow robot. Everything's going to be okay.
That escalated quickly.
It did. I want to snuggle. That's a cute little robot. Just saying. We Are Data wants to talk. Hey, we'll see. All right. But we're going to jump into List of the Week. And by the way, if you guys have any big questions or something that you'd like us to address for this Atomic Mass Games Switch, go ahead, tag me in the chat. And if we have time, we'll bring it up at the end. But we're going to jump into List of the Week. And the first list is going to be looked at by Ryan. I'll slide this over so we can see it. And it comes from Max the First Box. And he said, "Hey, I'm a 12-year-old kid, and I have a tendency to make weird lists. I came across this one and thought it was a lot of fun." Take it away, Ryan.
All right, so we have the TIE Defender piloted by Rexler Brath, utilizing Juke and Jamming Beam, and then three TIE SA bombers, Scimitar Squadron, basic generic I-2, with Barrage Rocket and Seismic Charges. Neat. It's an archetype I haven't seen. Just three generic things with barrage rockets and good bombs. And Rexler Brath just saying, "Hey, I'm the end game guy. See if you can come deal with me in time with my three buddies with me." I think for just having fun and trying that out, that's actually those are upgrades I would put on those ships. Looking at that straight up, I would personally take Jamming Beam off because that's just a waste of space. But if I were to tweak it just a little bit to maybe try a variation, I would say, take all the bombs off the bombers. Sounds crazy. I know. And then change Juke to outmaneuver, and then put advanced sensors on Rexler. Comes in at 200, and Rexler is there to be more AC, more options for getting out of things that he could have dialed into that may be a bad situation. So you have boost and barrel roll to pre-advanced sensors. And a lot of times we've seen partnering advanced sensors with outmaneuver on Rexler has helped him net additional damage when he normally couldn't without the modification. So ideally, I know it takes away the bombs, which is some of that spatial denial, but I think you have a better Rexler for end game purposes and just closing out games, and a little more forgiving if you make the right decision on your advanced sensors move, because it's not that difficult to block a defender, but a unblockable defender, whether it's actually repositioning or just saying, you know what, I'm going to get blocked anyway, I'll take my focus token and I'll run into a ship, and that's a shot that I don't get to take now. That doesn't come at me because they're range zero.
All right, fantastic. And I want to remind you that all of the variations that we create do get posted to our Discord in the resources section labeled List of the Week. So next one, Will's going to take it, and this is from Fallen707. Says, I've been flushing out this list, and I've had a hard time deciding which Ezra to use, the attack shuttle or the Sheathipede. Take it away, Will.
Let me get unmuted. Let's break down this list here. We have Gina Moonsong. That's an I-5. Stress passing B-Wing with Swarm Tactics Synced Laser Cannon. It's the new one that looks for calculates. Foils, of course. Ezra Bridger in the attack shuttle. K2SO for those calculates shenanigans. Shield upgrade, ion cannon turret, and Dutch Vander with proton torpedoes and R3 astromech. Now, this does have 23 points left. That's an easy filler ship, like a bandit thrown in there or so. But I personally love this combination. I forgot Gina exists in the game, so she never ended up in my Ezra experimentations. But I think the first question, Sheathipede or attack shuttle? Because we're going to most likely just be overloading Ezra with stress between Gina and K2SO, we're going to go with Sheathipede. The attack shuttle is great when you're trying to clear stress with the one bank, and then you do the focus roll. Now you got force, or double force, and evade every turn. So let's strip that off right now and get that Sheathipede version in there. It also saves us some points because we do not need the shield upgrade, nor do we need the dorsal turret. Those are all built right into that Sheathipede. Just for trading out the third attack dice out the front. No big deal. So now we got 34 points. But I'm going to drop a couple other things out of here. First one's going to be Swarm Tactics. It's cute, but we might have to split up at some point in time. And I'm overhauling the Dutch as well. I never liked Jousty Dutch. Not a fan. I guess Ezra could coordinate him a focus, but sometimes it just doesn't work out. So I'm going to strip all those points off of him for just the ion cannon. I got to check in with Dion because I've been wreaking havoc on this list. drop those for ion cannon. Fantastic. It keeps Dutch in the fight, but not out of the fight. And I don't know. And to get a second arc for the ion cannon, that's my go-to to get some offensive punch out of them, plus some control, plus support. Dutch overall, great person. And look at all these points we got now.
49. Oh,
49 points just for trimming up some fats. I know Dutch lost a lot of his punch or so, but we're going to put a third ship in here to be rounding them out. And you know me, I love Dutch's best friend, Garvin Dreyas, or Red Leader. It's an X-Wing. They just posted a video today or yesterday of me flying Dutch and Garvin to support a ghost. And in this list, Gina Moonsong is basically our ghost out there. And she's the heavy hitter while everybody else is just lingering around there trying to help her out. We should have 2 points left, and that's going to onto fire control system on Gino. So you can reroll. If you are double shooting, you can double shoot that cannon. Primary first, and then follow up with a double shot. But she's going to run out of modifiers real quick. She's no Tenor Braylon. So it gives her a little bit extra attack power even when she's not getting assistance from Dutch or not doing double shots as well. If she's, for some reason, the last ship left alone, she can kind of take another ship one-on-one with her tight maneuvers. I think that's it then, yeah. So yeah, because all these are just going to combine into one powerful double shot. Then you have Dutch's. Well, I guess it doesn't work because Garvin shoots after Gino. Oh well, she'll just have to help out somebody else. Or not Gino. Garvin.
So sorry, I have to address the chat. In Will's audio, what? That's not somebody violently shaking a tape measure. That's his dog.
It's my dog. This is what's making so much noise and distracting me from trying to articulate my reasons for selecting these ships. But I got distracted, and I did just realize that I'm used to I-4. B-wings, and Gina would shoot first. She wouldn't be able to use Garvin's focus, would she? Well, that's a problem for another day. I still like the list how it is. Give it to Ezra or Dutch. They could both use focuses.
There you go.
You know what? I am going to switch it out then. We're abandoning this completely.
Actually, never mind. Burn it.
No. Okay. Burn it. We're gonna drop Garvin out of there. Drop Garvin in fire control system, and we're just going to put Biggs in there. That should keep Gina alive.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't think there's 1 point worth anything spending on. No, we'll take that bid. She's got a better roll. Dutch needs locks. All right, so it still combines together, though, pretty good. So we got Gina Moonsong shooting double shot, synced laser cannons with calculates given to her by Ezra Bridger in the shoot the feed with K2SO. Got Dutch Vander with just the iron turret, and then we're going to have Biggs Darklighter protecting them all.
Yep. All right, there you go, 199. And I see people in the chat saying, cut Gina. The point, no. They gave us a Gina list. We're trying to build around Gina.
No, because you... So you give... Gina doesn't even need to take actions in this list, which I think is the funniest part, is that she can do whatever. Because you throw her a stress with and a calculate, and then you throw her a target lock. I was trying to give her a focus, but apparently that's not how that works. And then she throws the stress onto Ezra, who never has to unstress himself, because if Gina dies before he does, he gets all the K2 calculates. And you just go to stress town, baby. That's stress for 2.0, is with the K2SO. You don't need actions. Now, you could clear some stress and help out coordinating. It'd be nice to Ezra, but if Gina goes down, oh, man, all those stress tokens are going to him, for sure. I guess there'd be a way to keep Biggs alive, too, if need be.
It's true. You want some tokens, buddy? Here you go.
Everybody get your tokens.
All right, next we're going to go to Yuli XOX. Yuli Kisses and Hugs and Kisses. Let's go ahead and slide this over. Hi, GSP crew. I'm trying to make Scum Han work. Looking to find his best wingmates. I want this to be a four-ship list. I like Jank, but don't like Boba. He's too good. So, here's what I fiddled with. Any suggestions to spice it up? Hold on, wait, Marcel, before you start, let me just go ahead and do this now. Just grab this and type that. What is it called again? Escape craft, right? We'll just start there. Okay, go ahead, continue. We have a 212-point list. Begin. So what are we starting with here?
Well, for starters, I did not choose this list. It was bestowed upon me by my fellow hosts. I showed up late, and this is what I got. So we'll make do. All right. So let's start off by stop cheating. He said he wants 4 ships, so let's get rid of one of these. And it's not going to be my autopilot.
But hold on. Wait. But you got to tell us what we're starting with first.
Oh, we got to actually talk about the list?
Yeah, we got to talk about where we start for our people who can't see the podcast. They can only listen to the podcast.
Oh, so for the people who can't see the podcast, watch it.
Turn on your video now.
So we've got Han with Trick Shot, 000, Kira, Agile Gunner, Rigged Cargo Chute, and Lando's Millennium Falcon. And then he is supported by Captain Seavor with Deadeye Shot. And then 2G1A Starfighters. We got Zuckus with passive sensors, and then Forlom also with passive sensors. And he wants the best wingmate for Han. So we already know the beginning of that. So go ahead and redo what you undid a second ago. And let's take out Captain Seavor, because I kind of like those G1A Starfighters on there. He said he kind of likes it a little janky, and you can't get jankier than a couple G1As in there. So how do we make this work? So we off the bat already got 19 points to work with. So let me see what we want to do here. Let's get rid of 000 on Han Solo. Now, while I like 000 on Han Solo, I think he does better on Forlom. So let's just move it down to Forlom. And then let's give Forlom the sensor that he really wants, which is advanced sensors instead of passive sensors. So let's give him some advanced sensors there so he can go ahead and do his action, stress himself, get somewhere that he wants to be. And for that advanced sensors, let's also give him the title so he can do some barrier rolls as part of that as well. Give him a little bit of mobility. Let's give him contraband cybernetics just in case he happens to not end up at range one of who he wants to end up range one of. And we're putting a lot of points into Forlom here, so let's just bump him up a little more with a hull upgrade. I mean, he's worth the point. We already sunk 67 into him, so might as well throw an extra.
I just think it's hilarious that Forlom is currently 70 points and your Han Solo is 66.
Oh, wait. I ain't done with Han yet. So let's go to Zuckus. I actually like Zuckus. So I actually want my Zuckus focusing. Just focus on him. So let's take that passive sensors and switch it to a contraband. They have terrible dials, so might as well let them do a K-turn or something. And then 47. I don't like odd numbers, so let's throw a hull upgrade on him. Get him nice and even to 50.
Chonky.
Yeah. So now you've got Zuckus, Forlom. Forlom obviously is there to give Han Solo, an extra die because of Lando's Millennium Falcon. Trick Shot, getting some 5 or 6 die guns in there. Let's get rid of Agile Gunner and Rigged Cargo Chute. You're probably never going to action anyway, so. Yeah, get rid of that. Let's replace it with Unkar Plutt so that we do get some actions in there. So let's put Unkar Plutt in here. He's a little jealous of his hull upgrade buddy, so let's throw a hull upgrade on him too. Make him a little chunkier. And that leaves us, 6 points?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's throw some Dengar in there too. So with Dengar, he can, every time that he gets shot, he has the potential of hurting someone. And it also kind of works a little bit like Hotshot because, if they shoot at him at high initiative, then they have to spend their token if they don't want to get Dengard. And, here you go. So you got a Han Solo, especially also Dengard works well with Han Solo because Unkar Plutt, he can typically have arc on things And with autopilot, he's got a couple extra shields plus a hull upgrade. He'll be alive for a little while. So all of them shields. You have a total of how much health here? You got 12 plus 2 from the escape shuttle. That's 14. And another 20. That's a nice 34 health list for you there with some stress mechanics and other fun stuff. And hopefully you can get the good 6 dice. You know, 6 die at range 1 with the stress, with the ability and the trick shot all triggering at the same time.
All right, so what's our final list? What's the final form?
Final list is Han Solo with trick shot, Unkar Plutt. If you bump, you can take an action by taking a damage. Kira, Dengar Gunner, hull upgrade, and Lando's Millennium Falcon with the autopilot drone docked, as he should be. If anybody ever flies Han without it, you are wrong. And then we have Zuckuss with hull upgrade and contraband cybernetics, and Forlom with 000, advanced sensors, contraband cybernetics, mist hunter, and hull upgrade.
All right. Excellent. So those were our lists of the week. Thank you to everybody for submitting them. I want to remind you that you can submit your list of the week on our Discord under our submission section. We go through those every Tuesday and Wednesday to take a peek at what is it that we want to take a look at. I would say the weirder the list, the more likely it is. If you send us just like a meta list, we're probably not even going to look at it. Alrighty, let's jump into some questions of the week. We haven't done those in a while, and it looks like we might have even a little time to do some extra questions with the amount of time we have. For those of you guys in the chat, we'll see how we do. So, first question comes from Steve C. He asks, "What chassis currently out could be good, but are limited by the pilots available? What chassis really need a pilot, limited or non-limited, at a higher initiative?" So there's two questions in here. So what ship right now is held back by its bad pilots? One that kind of comes to mind that is not necessarily has bad pilots, but it's currently held back by points. Is our very favorite gunboat, the Alpha Class Pursuit Craft, is hurting right now a little bit because of points. But I don't know specifically about a chassis. Okay, you know what? I'm going to change my answer. My answer is going to be the TIE Aggressor. But that's not, it's not because, you know, I know, yes, Charlie won the Galactic Championship with TIE Aggressors, but let's be honest, Charlie even said it too, Sloan won the Galactic Championship for him, not the Aggressors. He had the tools of the Aggressors, but that ship has some weird chassis, and Double Edge is such a dumb pilot. I don't like Double Edge. Anyway, that's my two cents. What do you guys think?
Ryan, go first.
I'd say it's actually pretty hard to specifically point out pilots that are bad with a good chassis, because if you have a good chassis, you have a good chassis. Like, I don't know many pilots that I go to as like, this whole ship is bad because it doesn't have cool, you know, named or higher initiative pilots.
G95.
Yeah, but like, sure. I'm here to bring them for fodder anyway. Unless your name is Blount.
True.
And like you're a little more just because you like contribute a bit. But Blount's even like a worthwhile name.
See though, Ryan, your reaction actually hits at what I was really talking about. That was a scum Z95.
Oh.
Immediately went to Rebels. The scum Z95 is in a terrible place.
If you're a named pilot, sure. I mean, Bossk is the same cost with marksmanship as Blount is.
That's true.
Eh. probably not worth it, but still. It's just a bad Star Fortress. It's just bad all around. That's kind of too easy, though, right?
That's true.
So,
it's kind of a tough question, right? Because I feel like we immediately go to, well, this would be played more if it was cheaper, right? Like that's because we do have adjustable points and it's not fixed, so it's really hard to unlink the adjustable points to that. So, sorry, Steve. What about the second question? You got Will, you had something to say.
Yeah,
I thought you were right on with the Star Wing, the Alpha class Star Wing, because I hate Vendor, man. And Karsavi, get out of here, Karsavi. You know when you're trying to slam and shoot primaries or whatever your ability actually does. All right. So no, those are definitely my candidate for like that chassis has potential. It just needs like any pilot to fly it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go one. I got two, and one of them I think will be maybe some people will disagree. But the two that I got is on the Rebel side, I would say the K-Wing. It's really lacking. Like, Asuget doesn't really do much, and Miranda doesn't either. I mean, the K-Wing by itself, the generic, is better than any of the other ones. And even then, it's just missing something. And part of the question was if it had something at higher initiative, would it make a difference? And the answer is 100%. The slamming ship would make a difference with a higher initiative than three. And then the other one that probably will even get more like what are you talking about turns is the fireball from AIM. So I know you got Kazuto, and Kazuto's ability is really good. The problem is that chassis. You know, outside of, you know, Farmer's Fireballs and blah, 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 it has the potential to be such a good chassis, but the pilots on it are meh. And topping off at initiative four, I think, kind of, you know, Kazuto's ability, as good as it is, you have, you know, when you're never really going to get Kazuto to be less than 40 points. It just makes no sense. But then you're into A-Wing territory, and why would you ever take Kazuto over any A-Wing, even the generic initiative one? So I think if you had a fireball that had initiative five, God forbid a fireball initiative six, you know, I think that would tip it over the edge. And then I also have another one, the TIE Interceptor minus Unterfell. I would love to have Carnage. Give me some Carnage X, some Kirk. you know, some Carnage X, some Kirk Cronus. So what was his name?
Kirk Canis, yeah.
Yeah, Kirk Canis.
Marcel is another weary soul at the grave of Carnage X.
I love Carnage X. Nice, man. And that was the only red, that was the red TIE Interceptor back in 1.0. Carnage X, just get in there, get my range one bubble, and say, you will not. That's it. He will just say, you will not. And you will not do any of it.
Yep.
Chazbot, give me some.
All right, I gotta jump in here.
Some tears in the chat.
Hey, the fireball does have an I-5. Just gonna throw that one out there.
Yeah, oh, that is terrible. If nobody knows.
It's because he shoots a two attack dice. So not even worth mentioning. I love him, but just saying, there is an I-5 fireball. My chassis that needs higher initiative, man, could you imagine an I-6 HMP out there side slipping? Whew, man, you would have no idea what is going on with that ship.
what is going on?
180 degree arc munitions, side slip and barrel roll. Oh man, it'd be all over the place.
Marcel, you know what? This is the time. This is the time, Marcel. We're going to get that interview with Atomic Mass Games, and I open the interview with, let's talk Carter about Jackson. Carter Jax.
Carter Jax. And let it work with Force as well.
All right. Next question here comes from Chules. Says, if you could ban two pilots, non-generics, so two unique pilots, from each faction, and have one pilot from each faction that must be included in the list for fun. Oh, is that the summary there, Will? All right.
Yeah, that was the original question.
Here's a summary.
Picking two and banning one or something like that.
Pick one ship you would want everyone to fly in a tournament to be forced to take. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I assume that's
ship,
per faction.
Ship or pilot?
Pilot.
One pilot. Okay.
You must
pilot?
Have
pilot? Not even just the ship chassis? Yeah. That seems weird.
No. Well, I mean, imagine it, you know. His, Matthew Chules, was looking at us to go faction by faction. So we're just going to take our single faction response to this question. I'm going to go first, and I'm going to go with Dead Man Switch Quad Jumper. I would like to require every scum player to fly one of those. It sounds amazing.
All right, cool. All right, so we're going with the generics. I think that's more fun. Okay.
Well, okay. No. On card flut, I guess you are right.
No. I think we're gonna commandeer Chul's question and make it a generic because I think that's more practical. Because I think if somebody actually tried to do that in a format of a tournament, there would be riots. Like, you're forcing me to take this unique pilot just because they usually cost more. So
yeah, that's true. That's true.
So we'll go with generics with non-unique pilots, and for scum. Sure, we'll tack it on there. Boom, you got a quad jumper. Ryan, anything come to mind? Maybe for separatists or resistance.
So I mean, separatists might have the easy one for like the everyone is required to take vulture droid generic thing here. Spice it up. Let's just say it has to be the separatist drone. It can't be the I-1. It's got to be the I-3 because this is the separatist army. But, you know, eventually when the droid tri-fighter comes out, I would say you're just required to take a generic one of those because those ships are the coolest.
Marcel?
I'm going to go with a rogue squadron. So
E-wing?
Everybody has to take the I-4 E-Wing.
And nobody plays Rebels in that tournament, I'm telling you right now.
Everybody has to take the I-4 E-Wing. Hey, he said for fun. E-Wings are fun. So make it work.
Make it work.
Prove your worth.
For myself, let's see. We've covered Separatists. We'll go Imperial. We'll go a... planetary sentinel with seismic charges. That's a TIE Striker. Initiative 1, I think that one is.
Not concussion?
No. Seismics. I'm forcing them to take seismics. More tasty. All right. So, Chules, I know we mangled your question, but that's what we turned it into. Hopefully you had some fun with that one. Next question from PsychJ7 says, what makes a list / pilot oppressive? That's the first part. What do you think makes a list or a pilot oppressive? I'll let you guys go first.
A good pilot. A good person behind it. A good person who knows how to use it. I think what makes it is taking away your agency, taking away your choices. So a pilot that makes your either dial selection meaningless or it makes your dice rolling meaningless, whichever way you look at it. Whether if your dice are meaningless or if your dial selection is meaningless, to me, that's oppressive and should be burned.
Okay. I mean, I think for myself, so that's, I mean, flexibility, right? So but I think that's also connected to what you just said there, Marcel, is taking away choices. We always talk about the best ships, the best pilots, the best abilities are the abilities that let you do those abilities without conditions or with as few conditions as possible. So I think that's where I'm going there. Will?
I am stunned by such a thoughtful answer. That's totally correct. I'll just tack on unlimited resources. Was a thing. Resources was the thing we didn't, other than like Ray Crew. There's a throwback to first edition.
That was barely resource management.
Yeah, it wasn't really. but prior to the current state of the game, we didn't have resource management, and when a list doesn't need to do that, doesn't have charges or timing, or we talk a lot about the force, but force is like a valuable resource you do have to manage constantly all game, whether it's free or not. You still only get one of them a turn, so I think that's the biggest one that becomes oppressive, is that like I said, it's unlimited resources. Big example is Boba. They called out even in the question is Boba's rerolls, where it's not really, once you can trigger them, there's no holding back on them.
So if they edited Boba Fett, sorry, but before I jump to Ryan, if they edited Boba Fett, do you think it should be like a once per turn thing? You have one charge and one turn you could reroll with the number of ships at range one? Or,
you know, I think it'd be neat because I really like Wolf's, how he controls his charge as a mechanic.
Ooh,
like you may spend a charge to reroll, and then it doesn't reoccur. Then you can, and then with Wolf, like when you shoot for your back arc, you can add a die to flip it back over. If Boba was like, hey, you have a charge, it doesn't reoccur. When you attack, you may reroll by spending a charge. And then when you defend, you may flip it back up.
Mm,
so like you can like use it twice in a turn, but only on one attack and one defense. So it's a little bit of a better lone wolf because you get one for attack and one for defense. But when you're focus fired by a lot of things, you can't just constantly get it for every defense.
Okay. I like that. I like that. Good change. Atomic Mass Gaming, you got that note? Thank you. I'll let him know.
I'll send him the invoice.
There you go. Sentence one in the interview. First, Garner Jack. Sentence two, Boba Fett change. Thank you. awesome. So that is...
By the way, I did not miss the shade there from... William, like that was surprisingly and actually
I did not say I don't think I said surprisingly, but I was taken aback that was my exact answer, like almost word for word. I was okay with that, I guess. You took my answer.
You stole my answer. Alrighty, well, before we check out today, you guys got any shout outs to anybody, anything you want to say before we wrap this up actually on time this week?
I got one. I'm gonna shout out I got the Oculus Quest 2 for this thing here.
Okay.
Rogue whatever. I ended up only playing like 1 minute of Rogue before I got motion sickness and just like can't handle it anymore.
For Squadrons you're talking about?
For Squadrons, yeah.
Okay.
So I can't play that Squadrons in 3D. However, I've been playing that Beat Saber thing, the lightsaber with music.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a workout. I'm going to lose 20 pounds in the next month and a half because of that thing. So that my shout out to my positive life choices, buying an Oculus so I can actually do some beat lightsabering thing. What is going on over there, William?
Trying to get the puppers.
Yeah. Trying to get the puppy in the lap.
She won't leave me alone.
Come get Snuggles, doggy.
I also see more of my X-Wing things are currently.
All right, Ryan? You go, when's the next last squad up video? When's the next one?
So transparency's sake, small break, because one of my other favorite games I like to play, Destiny 2, just came out with a new expansion, so I've dove deep into that. I will jump back on more squad up videos when I have gotten my fill of Destiny.
All right.
I'm on my own time.
That's right. Ryan's like, I do what I want.
Yeah. But I'll say this is a phrase for two reasons. One, for people who are concerned with the FFG to Atomic Mass Games transition for our games. And in general, I feel like this phrase works for 2020. And probably into 2021. Stay positive, but you know, just understand the realities.
Fantastic. Well, thank you everybody for listening. This episode was really good. I'm excited to see what happens.
Hey, I got a shout out.
Sorry, Will. I thought we were just gonna talk about the doggy. Do it.
What? No,
she's in your lap.
The dog is not my shout out. Even though, look how adorable she is. No, my three shout out to my girlfriend, Woo. Alyssa. We yesterday was our 5 year. That's crazy.
Whoa.
That's longer than I've been with Gold Squadron. I think that's no, I've been playing X-Wing longer than that.
Wow.
But yeah, it was, 5 years, man. Exciting.
Congrats.
That's my moment. Thank you. She normally listens. Let's see if she's still awake.
That's
so
right.
So I can get some boyfriend points.
That's right. That's right.
She's hearing this.
Call you after. Oh, Will, you're so sweet. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, if you guys have any questions, want to interact with us, hit us up on Discord. Submit in the submission section. Be a part of the community. Play some games out there. We'll see you live on Wednesday for our next installment of Gold Squadron Flight Club. Gold Squadron Plays. I don't know what we're going to play this week. We'll figure it out. We got time. Oh, by the way, shout out. We do have a new team member. They're not a podcast member, but a new team member. Shout out to Jonah Piscani. He's going to be helping us with some stuff. We're trying to work on what his official title is going to be, but he's going to be helping us out with some stuff. So, yeah, excited about that. So we'll talk to you later. For everybody here at Gold Squadron, be smart, be safe. Gold Squadron, out. I always lose the button. Nah, there it is. Bye.